There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Ahead on NFL Live, the Jaguars will not be among teams looking for a new head coach. The team announces Doug Marrone will return for the 2020 season. The situation in Dallas remains unclear. No definitive news yet on the future of head coach Jason Garrett. His contract expires this week. And it's the end of the year, the end of a decade, and we've got the best plays of the decade all queued up and ready to go. We're happy to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Wendy Nix. Diana Rossini and Rob Ninkovich are here. Adam Schefter is with us as well. And Adam, before we get to Doug Marrone, let's start with the coaching carousel. Who is interviewing where?
Mike McCarthy, the former Packers head coach who's already interviewed with the Carolina Panthers, is going to interview with the New York Giants this week. And now the Cleveland Browns have some interest in Mike McCarthy as well, Wendy, but the Giants are scheduling an interview with McCarthy for this week. And McCarthy has taken the year off, has studied analytics, feels like he'd be coming back bigger, stronger, better than ever in 2020 if he's given the job. So that's one to watch today. As for Eric Bieniemy, the Carolina Panthers have requested to interview him, as have the New York Giants. So Bieniemy's drawing interest from other teams. The Chiefs offensive coordinator was a candidate last year, is a candidate again this year, is worthy of a head coaching job. We'll see if he is given that opportunity in this current cycle. And the Baylor head coach Matt Rhule has declined the chance to interview with the Cleveland Browns. Now Matt Rhule has continually said he plans to stay at Baylor, but it is thought that he is a leading candidate in New York with the Giants, in Carolina with the Panthers, and there are people around the league who believe that he could wind up taking the jump. We'll see what he winds up doing. He's a man in demand, but it won't be with the Cleveland Browns if he does go to the NFL. And one other note, Wendy, the Patriots special teams coach, wide receiver, assistant coach Joe Judge was requested to interview for the New York Giants head coaching job. We've seen special teams coaches make this transition before. Judge could be the next in a long line of them to make that jump to head coach. A lot of people feel like he's ready for it.
Schefter, thank you. It's good to be a man in demand. Meanwhile, our other top story today, the Jags announcing that Doug Marrone will return for the 2020 season. His record after three-plus seasons in Jacksonville, 22-28. The team also announced it will not replace Tom Coughlin's position and that Dave Caldwell will stay on as the team's general manager. Jags owner Shad Khan released this statement on his decision today. While our discussions will remain confidential, the decision I am making to keep our staff intact for 2020 has nothing to do with our victory on Sunday and everything to do with my positive meetings with Dave, Doug, the coordinators, and our players, as well as my belief that this is not the time to consider an overhaul of our organization. Shefty, we'll go back to you on this. What was the thought process here?
Basically, the Jaguars went back and forth on this, and I know Doug Marrone probably thought that he faced long odds at returning, but the fact of the matter is, in the conversations I've had with various Jaguars officials, even though they might have gone back and forth on this, ultimately they felt like Doug Marrone, the head coach, Dave Caldwell, the general manager, were the right men to keep going forward. The specter of Tom Coughlin hung over this franchise, and he was such a strong presence and such a strong personality that I think the owners want to see how Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell will function in a Tom Coughlin-less environment where there are a different set of rules, where that discipline that existed is lightened up some, where they feel like they could have relationships with players that they didn't have before. Owners believe that will make a difference. We'll find out whether or not that's true in the 2020 season, Wendy.
Shefty, thank you. That all makes a lot of sense. And I thought Mike Tannenbaum made that point as well yesterday, that in some ways, Marrone may have been hamstrung and not able to completely do his job. He hadn't been empowered the way he could be. So we'll see. Actually, these things are often fluid. And Diana, you actually reported something different over the weekend.
Yeah, look, as a journalist, it's 100% my job to be accurate. And I wasn't accurate here because, of course, Doug Marrone kept his job. But this weekend was really interesting in terms of the information I was getting inside the organization from sources with Jacksonville and even outside the league, where everyone there felt that Doug Marrone's time in Jacksonville was over. In fact, Doug was telling people that he was being fired Sunday after the game. They were giving him one more game. He had plans to leave the country for a few weeks with his family. So the fact that there's been maybe perhaps a change or maybe information was given to him that was incorrect. But at the end, for Doug Marrone, this is a big win as he gets another opportunity to try to turn this around.
And with Marrone staying put, we have four head coaching jobs open. There remains a big question mark on a fifth, and that is in Dallas, Texas. Jason Garrett remains the Cowboys head coach, at least for now. He met with Jerry Jones after he met with the players, I should say, around lunchtime on Monday, and then followed that up with a meeting with Jerry Jones. There was no clarity at the end of business yesterday regarding the coach's future and the owner's potential plan for 2020. In fact, these two parties, Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett, are scheduled to meet again. Ed Werder follows this closely. He joins us now from outside Dallas. And we'll start with the obvious. Ed, what's the latest with Jason Garrett?
Well, Wendy, the reason this has been a deliberate process is because they have a long relationship, a mutual respect between the owner and the head coach here. But Jason Garrett was scheduled to resume those meetings with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones about 30 minutes ago to determine his future with the organization, with the full expectation still being the Cowboys beginning a search for a new head coach very soon. In a season where the Cowboys enjoyed an incredibly healthy roster, where the front office believed that Garrett was provided an enormously talented team that competed in what proved to be the weakest division in the league, Garrett finished without a winning record for the fifth time in his career. His 8-8 record, the worst of the Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott era. That's not an argument for an extension. And then adding to that, Jones, who has unique status as the owner and general manager, talked about immediately after the game, after the season ended. He said the Cowboys, you know, when you're running your own business like he is, you can't fire yourself. And he also said he didn't believe the talent on the roster was responsible for the failure of the team. And so essentially that leaves us with a team that was poorly coached and underachieved as a result.
Ed, whoever the head coach is, Jerry Jones is still the GM. As you mentioned, that is not going to change. What will be his number one offseason priority with the roster?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that the first priority for Jerry Jones after he resolves who the next head coach is going to be is securing quarterback Dak Prescott and wide receiver Amari Cooper, both of whom have finished their rookie contracts in the NFL. You know, Jones has remained unequivocal about his belief in Prescott as the franchise quarterback, especially after a season of historic offensive success, at least statistically. And the process of winning becomes more complicated for the Cowboys as Prescott's going to take up a much higher percentage of the salary cap than he has the previous four seasons. Jones also specifically said after their final game that he wants Cooper to return, even though he disappeared for much the final 2 months of the season. Cooper said this is where he wants to be, citing his confidence in Prescott as one of the reasons for that. I expect the Cowboys to retain both, even if they have to use the available franchise and transition player designations. And don't forget, Wendy, that starting quarterback Byron Jones and sack leader Robert Quinn, also potential unrestricted free agents in March.
Another busy offseason for the Dallas Cowboys, no doubt about it, one that may or may not start with a head coaching search. I do believe Adam Schefter is back with us with additional news. Adam?
Well, Wendy, this is a situation I think that many people feel like the Cowboys are run like a family organization because they are a family organization with the Jones family. And a lot of people feel like Jason Garrett is a part of that family. And that's why this breakup has been so hard, because essentially you're cutting somebody out of the family, which the Joneses are hesitant to do because of how much they think of Jason Garrett. But the fact of the matter is everybody expects this to be coming from Dallas. We're just waiting for the official word of the two sides parting ways, which hasn't come yet. Again, a difficult thing for Jerry Jones to do in this situation, but the watch is on in Dallas. Everybody waits. We know the situation as it is, and we just wait to see what the Cowboys ultimately decide in the end, Wendy.
Adam, thank you. Obviously, working for Jerry Jones, an owner and a GM, not only that, a very vocal one, a very out front owner and GM, has its challenges. Jason Garrett was able to function within those parameters. Rob, do you think, or how much does this have to be a consideration if you're a potential head coaching candidate in Dallas?
Well, look, mediocre is mediocre. And when you see this last year, that team underachieving with the talent that they have, if you are a potential coach looking at Dallas, they have all the pieces that you would want. They have the quarterback potentially because of contract. You don't know if he'll be there or not. But they do have a running back under contract who's pretty good. They have an offensive line that's really strong. So if you're a veteran quarterback, maybe Phillip Rivers, that is looking for a place, a new spot, a fresh start that has some weapons that you can go out there and win with. You look at Dallas, you say, hey, this is a good spot for me. It's a great city, got a great fan base. Unfortunately for that fan base, they've had to deal with 8-8 seasons. And it's just with this season underachieving the way that they did with the talent that they had, I don't know why Jerry Jones wouldn't think moving on to another coach might be the best thing for that organization, considering that they haven't made the playoffs. And this was the glory season, so to speak. And Jerry Jones said that he wanted to get back to those old days.
Yeah, Cowboys haven't had back-to-back playoff bursts since 06 and 07. And Diana, he sat with us at the Combine, which was, of course, you know, after the Super Bowl last year. And Mort has talked about this. But he was with us. It was so very clear that Jerry's feeling his sort of football mortality, if you will. In fact, that's exactly the words he used. He knows that the window is closing. He's getting older. He understands what that organization can do, what they mean around the world. I think it's probably, you know, it's understandable that he'd take a different approach going forward.
No, and you have to sort of look at the situation now. I feel like it's a slow burn breakup here. That you have to think maybe Jerry's trying to send out a message to other potential coaches if this were to actually happen, if he were to move on from Jason Garrett, of this is the kind of owner I am. I'm going to consider your family. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to hit the headlines of you're fired. I'm perhaps going to go a different route. Because as Adam pointed to, he does look at Jason Garrett as family. And just how many times have we seen coaches be emotional towards players and have a hard time letting go there? This is just another example where they obviously have a very close relationship. And sometimes in relationships, you have to make really hard decisions. And I think we've all been there. Breakups are hard.
Breakups are hard. And you know what? I think there's something that has to be said. We all get on Jerry for being, you know, sometimes what we consider too visible of an owner and all those things. I don't think, you know, you're talking about someone's future here, and perhaps it's the right choice, Rob. I would agree to move on. But, I think you got to say it's okay to take your time and do this in the way, the manner in which he's approaching it, given the history he has with Jason Garrett. I think there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
New on NFL Live from our Bears reporter, Jeff Dickerson. The Bears, by the way, made the announcement they plan to stick with Mitch Trubisky, but they have fired several assistant coaches, including offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich and offensive line coach Harry Highstand. Again, likely in an effort to make changes to help Trubisky move in the right direction. The Giants opted to part ways yesterday with head coach Pat Shurmur after two seasons and a 9-23 record. The team, though, announced that GM Dave Gettleman would return for 2020 and also spearhead the search for a new head coach. Here is Gettleman earlier today.
And before we go any further, I just want to be clear, Pat Shurmur is as fine a man as I've ever worked with. There are many reasons why the New York Football Giants are in the current state, and I take my share of culpability. As John said yesterday, I have had misses. However, given where we started in December 17, we've made progress in many areas on and off the field that we are encouraged by and see as a sound foundation for the team to come.
Well, look, there have been misses. There have been some hits. There would be those that argue they have a quarterback, a running back. There's pieces in place,
yep.
Rob, making it, I would think, a desirable situation for a lot of head coaching candidates.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what they have there, you have a franchise quarterback who's very young. So if you're an offensive-minded coach, maybe you take that as a positive. Look, I have one of the top running backs in the NFL right now, very explosive young guy that's going to be on the team for a while. And you look at your quarterback. I think the hard part would be the GM staying, so maybe he would have more influence on personnel decisions, so that could be an issue. But as far as just players there on offense, they have the keys that are there for winning, but defensively, they're going to have to rebuild on defense.
You know, I'm sorry, Dan, the point was made yesterday that while they announced that Gettleman's returning, you know, they could be in a tough spot if there are potential candidates out there, and Shefty talked about this, that want more of a say. You know, there's a new age here where head coaches make a lot of the decisions, and now they're kind of backed into a corner.
I feel like that's the case around the league. You know, whenever you're talking about the coaching hiring process, and, you know, let's say we're discussing the Giants situation, and you're talking with other perhaps candidates or other head coaches from other teams about what's going on, they'll always say, is he getting full control? Is he getting full power? It's always the first question people ask, because that's what they want, because we've seen what happens when a head coach doesn't feel like he's the one that can make the decisions, and it becomes frustrating, and it usually doesn't work out. I feel like the teams that allow their coach to have a say and work in tandem with the GM, those are the ones that usually are successful.
Yep.
Well, the Giants head coaching search has begun. They've made inquiries around the league. We'll continue to watch that. Look, there's a lot of comings and goings. Sometimes they involve us. Jack Del Rio is usually here on Tuesdays, but guess what? I don't know. It may be because it's New Year's Eve. Perhaps he has big plans.
Did he call in sick?
Or, yeah, perhaps he is in D.C. to talk to Ron Rivera about potentially taking over that Redskins defense. What a tandem those two would make. Ron Rivera expected to be announced as the new head coach of the Redskins, and he is apparently interested in tapping Jack to take over the defense. We will see. Hopefully he'll let us know. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores made a somewhat surprising staff change, firing offensive coordinator Chad O'Shea. Miami will reportedly fill the spot with Chan Gailey, who last coached in 2016. 67-year-old Gailey worked with quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick in prior stops with the Jets and the Bills. Miami will hope to sustain its second half surge. The Dolphins nearly doubled their scoring offense from the first half of the season to the second. After starting 0-7, Miami finished 5-4, the same record as the New England Patriots over those final 9 games. Adam Schefter joins us now with breaking news. Schefty, I'll send it to you.
Well, Wendy, all signs in Cleveland are pointing to the end of John Dorsey's run as the general manager. He is scheduled to meet this afternoon with the Browns owner, Jimmy Haslam, to go over the details. But I've been told by multiple sources that they are, quote unquote, leaning towards making a change at the general manager position. Obviously, there are a lot of voices in the room, and the Browns are trying to figure out who's in charge of hiring a head coach. A lot of questions on the table, but at this point in time, it looks like John Dorsey's future in Cleveland is in doubt. The Browns made a head coaching change on Sunday night, and it looks like a general manager change is next. More change in Cleveland, an organization that's in perpetual change. They fired Freddie Kitchens on Sunday night shortly after another losing season, and they're on the verge of parting ways with John Dorsey. I want to emphasize, it's not final. Maybe they figure out a way to work it out. But usually in this particular case, when so many people are saying that it is going in this direction, that this ultimately is the direction that it's going to wind up going in, with the Browns making a change at general manager, moving on from the man that made Baker Mayfield the number one overall selection, that traded for Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, that brought in a lot of talent to Cleveland after his stint in Kansas City. But again, Cleveland has been dysfunctional enough over the years that some of those tendencies are showing up again in all the changes that they've made. And this looks like it could be the latest. Again, John Dorsey, the general manager, will meet this afternoon with the Browns owner, Jimmy Haslam. But all signs point to the Browns making a change at the general manager position.
Schefty, thank you. And again, to your point, Freddie Kitchens was out on Sunday. It's mind-boggling, really, not so much in January, but if you look at our discussions pertaining to the Browns in March or April of last year, they were moving in the right direction. They would win the division. They had their quarterback, Diana. The Browns, it wasn't your father's Cleveland Browns. Yeah. And yet, here we go again. I will say this. We talked yesterday about the accountability of making that Kitchens hire. Mm-hmm. It seemed from the outset that that was jumping the gun, that that was not the right decision. And the question was, who would also be held accountable for that? If this is true, it appears that answer is John Dorsey.
And remember who was out front when we were talking about those good times of what Cleveland could be? It was John Dorsey who was out in front talking about it. And as he should have as a GM, and he was obviously excited to see what this team could do under the decisions he was going to make. But I can tell you that ownership in Cleveland has lost their patience with this situation here. I know from talking to people who have talked to these owners that Jimmy Haslam has been making calls to people around the league, successful GMs, successful coaches that are currently employed by other teams, and those that aren't even in the league anymore, to pick their brains on what they think he should be doing moving forward, just to try to collect that information. And I know one person shared with him that he needs to find somebody that's going to be honest with him and tell him the truth in terms of what the Cleveland Browns organization should be doing moving forward, because we've seen this in the past. Sometimes the owners surround themselves with their yes men, and those decisions don't always turn out to be the best for the organization. It makes the owner happy in that moment.
Well, I think that's a fair point, and I said this yesterday with regards to a head coaching search. When you are repeatedly in the market for a head coach, at some point there has to be some self-awareness, right? You have to say, what is wrong with our process? This process of ours keeps landing us in the same spot, Rob. The same is true here. Yep. If they don't take a long, hard look at the way they make these decisions, they will end up making the same type of decision. And Cleveland will continue on this hamster wheel of dysfunction.
Yeah, it's just repeating itself over and over and over again every 3 to 5 years. And it's hard to find a head coach to come in and he understands, okay, I have basically a garage sale as a roster, valued high, but basically worth nothing because you want to bring in your own people. Yeah. It's junk, right? When you go to a garage sale, somebody wants $100 or something, like, yeah, right, I'll give you $5. You know, so when a new coach is coming in and they're looking to build their roster, what's their timeline? How much control do they have? Are they going to have a bad season and have the plug pulled early on them when you need to have a complete restart from top down? And when you have the dysfunction and every 3 to 5 years there's a new coach that needs to change over the roster, they bring in all this talent, but you can't control the talent. You can't manage the talent. And at the end of the day, a head coach has to hold people accountable and they have to be able to manage people and talent. And grown men, that's what it is. It's managing the talent.
I think for Dorsey, though, that Odell Beckham Jr. trade, which at the time, I feel like most people reacted thinking that that was a really good move. Well, when you look at this Cleveland Browns roster, you look at where they were perhaps the weakest. It was offensive line. And they got rid of a great offensive lineman to bring Odell Beckham Jr. to Cleveland. And I think that is going to be something that this Cleveland Browns organization is going to remember about John Dorsey. Because, look, it didn't work out. Odell Beckham Jr. did not live up to the hype and the potential that he should have with Baker Mayfield.
A lot of things didn't work out. You're absolutely right, or we wouldn't be in this position. And our former GM, Mike Tannenbaum, joined us on the phone. And, Mike, it's interesting because we had such an extended conversation about this yesterday. And one of the things we talked about was sharing some of the accountability for the Freddie Kitchens situation. You know, what is your reaction to the news that it appears John Dorsey is out in Cleveland?
Yeah, hi, guys. I guess I'm a little bit surprised by the timing of the decision, maybe not the decision itself, just in terms of the season didn't go well, and it was clear that when Freddie Kitchens was hired, this was John Dorsey's decision. And when things don't work out on a one-and-done situation like they were, you know, typically that general manager would be let go at the same time. So I'm not really surprised if this indeed is the decision that Jimmy Haslam ultimately makes, but maybe just by the timing of it in terms of why was it 24 hours later.
Well, Mike, then what's next? I mean, because another thing we discussed was the process and the fact that we keep seeing history repeat itself in Cleveland. If you're advising Jimmy Haslam, so to speak, you know, where do you start and what do you say?
Well, first of all, I think it's a really positive start in the right direction in terms of if he felt like for whatever reason they got it wrong with Freddie Kitchens. And we talked about this yesterday, Wendy. It's surprising that he was in the building every day and they still decided to move on after 1 year. But with that said, he did admit that it didn't work out. And if indeed they do move on from John Dorsey, it's actually an opportunity. And it's a very attractive job because they have a lot of talent. Arguably, their skill players are as good a group as any when you factor in the depth at running back, tight ends, receivers. So the cupboard is far from bare. Now, look, they need some work on the line, especially on the offensive line, but it's really not a bad job. And if they get the right people in there and they attract the right coach, I think this is a situation where we could be talking about a very competitive Cleveland Brown team next year. So the right coach who's competitive and has the right makeup is going to see this as a tremendous opportunity.
Mike, thank you. We appreciate it, as always, your perspective as we continue to follow the news that several days after Freddie Kitchens was let go, that happened after the game on Sunday. Adam Schefter reporting now that all indications are John Dorsey will be moving on as the Cleveland Browns GM as well. New on NFL Live this afternoon from our own Adam Schefter. The Browns and John Dorsey are leaning toward parting ways today, sources tell Chris Mortensen and Adam Schefter, but it's a fluid and not final situation. Dorsey is meeting today with Browns owner Jimmy Haslam to finalize details, signs pointing to the end for John Dorsey. Adam Schefter talking about this. It's his tweet. Joins us now with some perspective. Adam?
Well, Wendy, there's going to be more change here in Cleveland, and there are many people around the league who are saying that John Dorsey is out. Now, I'm told that he still is going to be meeting today with the Browns owner, Jimmy Haslam, that they'll be working out parting arrangements and things of that sort. And you never know what goes on during these meetings, but multiple people around the league who've been talking about this really for a few days now say that John Dorsey is going to be out as the Browns general manager. And it is another radical upheaval of change here in Cleveland, which we've seen so many times over the years. They go through head coaches at a regular rate They've gone through general managers and front office executives at a regular rate. Jimmy Haslam has had to spend millions upon millions to pay off people whose contracts were not up, who he decided to move on from. And so this organization right now is in a state of upheaval. Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach, already has turned down a chance to interview for the Browns head coaching job. They've cast a net to about 10, 12 head coaching candidates. And I could tell you today, somebody said they've gone out and reached out to too many people. It's turned off some of the regular candidates. But this is what we've gotten used to in Cleveland. And we are about to see even more change with the Browns, who fired Freddie Kitchens on Sunday night and now are on the verge of moving on from general manager John Dorsey, who drafted Baker Mayfield and traded for Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, who brought in a lot of the talent that's now in Cleveland. And I think every year people talk about there being a surprise move, and there really wasn't a surprise move at the head coaching level. The John Dorsey move would be considered the surprise so far of 2019 before we get to 2020, because a lot of people recognize the good job he did there in Cleveland, but in Cleveland it never seems to be enough, and it looks like later today John Dorsey officially will be let go. It's not final yet, even though some people think it is. They are still working it out, but all signs now point to the Browns making a change at the general manager position, just as they made one at the head coaching position on Sunday night, that they'll be looking for a new head coach and they'll be looking for a new general manager.
Adam, thank you. Listen, we got a few more hours in 2019, perhaps a few more surprises. We'll continue to follow this and circle back with you shortly. Meanwhile, on the field, it is the eve, at least the week before the postseason. The Texans and Bills will kick it off Saturday afternoon right here on ESPN. Houston hosting a wild card game for the fourth time in the last five seasons. The Texans rested several starters in week 17 with the division wrapped up, including Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Laremy Tunsil. Bill O'Brien had this to say on the matchup, but we will talk about that in just a few minutes, because why hear from him when you can hear from us?
Why not, right?
Just a head coach. Yeah, listen, your pick. It's our way of sort of looking a deep dive, if you will, into this game and who may have the advantage.
Yes.
Rob's going to do the honors.
Okay.
And then, Diana, you can chime in when necessary.
Yeah, I'll assist.
There we go.
Yeah.
Listen, as we often do, we will start with the quarterbacks.
Okay.
As you know, tends to be where the attention lies.
Yep.
Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, take your pick.
So I like Josh Allen. He's a big quarterback, stands tall in the pocket, but he's inconsistent at times. He'll make a great throw, then he'll have a poor throw. And in the playoffs, every single throw potentially could be the outcome of the game. So I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson. I know the last three games he's thrown five picks, but he's going to have his receivers there. And I just think that when you look at him as a whole, in the pocket, out of the pocket, the ability to scramble, to use his legs, I know Josh Allen can do that as well. But his ability to be accurate out of the pocket, so he's able to scramble around, throw the ball down the field, that's impressive, and that is going to come down. Red zone, get out of the pocket, throw a strike in the end zone, win the football game. Playoffs, Deshaun Watson, I'm going with him as my quarterback in this matchup.
All right, his weapons here, the running backs.
Yes. So when I look at the running back position, the Texans kind of have a dual threat, kind of in and out. But when I look at the Buffalo Bills in Singletary, he is a downhill runner. I know he missed four games with an injury, but you look at his ability with balance. He's very, very hard to get on the ground. Very rarely does the first guy take him down. His ability to make guys miss, catching the ball out of the backfield. And then you go Frank Gore, a veteran who is seasoned. He understands that he has very few bites of the apple left, and he's going to embrace the playoffs. And he is ready to go, so I'm going to take the Bills in the running back position.
I like that. Very few bites of the apple left. Carlos Hyde scares me in terms of this matchup here.
Yep.
I just flash back to what he did against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City at home, and he just tore them up. He runs hard. And obviously, he's an extra threat with Deshaun Watson's legs, which, you know, we saw against the Tennessee Titans. He just creates so much production for them. I'm with you, though. I understand what you're saying. They have multiple running backs here in Buffalo, but I think Carlos Hyde becomes a big factor here.
Okay.
All right, the wideouts.
So
we kind of agree, by the way.
Yeah.
So far.
We're right there, kind of.
Here, we'll fight later.
So, I mean, you got to go right here with
Hopkins.
His play speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You have to double the man. And then when you add in Fuller, now coming back from a groin injury, hopefully he's back to 100%, that makes it pretty tough on defenses. When you have to cover both of those guys, they have speed, their ability to make guys miss and catch the ball. I just think that 100% you got to go with the Texans and the wide receiver group.
100% though, these guys have played pretty well.
They have played well, but when you think about explosive plays, Buffalo doesn't have that explosive ability to throw the ball down the field. One play could change the outcome of the game. I'm going with Hopkins.
And I want to see the Texans use Hopkins earlier in the game.
Yeah.
When you take a look at his numbers and his production, even the first through third quarters, it is completely different when we talk the fourth quarter of a game. So I think by using him early in the game, it obviously can help them out a lot.
And with Fuller in the game, their passing production doubles, basically.
Yep. All right, you. How about
right.
Hey, here we go.
Look at that.
Let
mug
the light
right
shine.
There. That's a mean mug Deep on JJ right there.
Yeah. He's
so
angry.
He's back, maybe. We don't know.
He is eligible at this point. That is very impressive.
Usually it's about 6 to 8 months. So,
Well, it's impressive.
Quickly.
There's also a question if it's advisable.
I'm going with the Bills defense. They've been very tough all season long. They've been very stout. Their ability to get after the quarterback, their linebackers run well, their secondary covers, terrific. They have terrific coverage in the back end. So you look at their production and defense travels. Defense travels well. So, going down there to Houston, they have a great defense, and I just think that when you have a defense like that in the playoffs, they're able to travel well, and I think that that's going to help them in this game, that defense right there.
Well, this game kicks off the postseason, so it's coming Saturday afternoon, right? Listen, you know what? So is Jameis. He, too, is a human highlight reel, but sometimes not in the way you would expect. The Buccaneers quarterback threw a pick six in overtime. This is the end of his season, by the way. His 30th pick of the season, making him the first player in NFL history to pass for 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions in a single season. So, two players, this is an understatement, had more highs and lows than did Winston this year. He passed for over 5,000 yards, setting the single season franchise record. But he also became the first player since Vinny Testaverde in 1988 to throw at least 30 picks. Seven of those were pick sixes, which set the all-time single-season record. Here is Bucs head coach Bruce Arians, who addressed Winston's future with the team on Monday.
In this team, is it good enough to win with another quarterback?
With another quarterback? Oh, yeah. We can win with this one. We can definitely win with another one, too.
Fill out between now and March what you see as the options regarding Jameis Winston.
No free agency, who's available? What's behind door number two? That's the first question. And then as you evaluate for the draft, that's another question. Are they better than what you have? And then you evaluate, and that's when you make your decisions.
Well, we'll play a little game we often do. Sounds good, sounds bad. Listen, is it possible that Arians is just being candid? We don't know. We're going to look at the options. We'll look at what we have. We'll look at what we could have. And we'll see.
Can we just put a slash in there?
Because it sounds good.
Like he believes in his coaches and himself as a coach. Because it doesn't matter what quarterback we have, we're going to win. We got the guys.
Yeah,
whatever quarterback it sounds bad. If
you're
Jameis
Winston,
yeah, of course. Yeah. He's like, if he's here, I guess we'll win. If he's not, we'll win too.
It depends on your perspective in this.
If
you're Bruce, it sounds good because he's like, look, I can do this. I'm the quarterback whisperer. I wrote a book about it.
Yeah,
but for Jameis, it doesn't really seem like a lot of commitment. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like this is the time of year where all season long you hear these head coaches back their guy. He's this. He's that. I love him. He's my guy. And now that the regular season's over, they're no longer in the playoffs, now the truth starts to come out. And I think this is Bruce just being as truthful as he can be without killing his quarterback of, look, I can do the job. I just not sure if he's the right guy.
Yeah. I think when you turn the ball over the way Jameis Winston does, I mean, you have to expect that this is sort of the process.
Yeah.
Evaluate. Wait and see. I don't know what else you can say.
I agree.
Sounds right. How about that?
Well, yeah. Sounds right.
Okay, sounds right.
Yeah.
The Oakland Raiders season is over, prompting questions about their quarterback regarding the future, of course, of Derek Carr. He's under contract through 2022, but has failed to lead the Raiders to the playoffs each of the last three seasons. Here's what his head coach had to say about his future in Oakland.
Like I said, I think he played a moral role as a coach on the field, with all the change that we had around him. We had different receivers almost every week, different tight ends, different backs, different linemen. And I think his patience and his ability to coach guys in practice and on the grass on game day was a real area of improvement. And he did some good things, no doubt.
Deep? I don't know. Sounds good. Sounds
like
bad.
A lukewarm hot tub. Ever sat in one of those?
Oh, I don't like
that.
It's
the worst. You don't want a coach on the field. You want a player.
You want a
baller.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's exactly how I translated out of, like, he doesn't think he's the clutch guy.
The guy.
Yeah, there were times
there was receivers.
You thought it was going to work. But.
Yep.
All right, let's go back out to Adam Schefter, who continues to follow breaking news this afternoon. Schefty?
Oh, Wendy, this is just in moments ago. John Dorsey, the former general manager of the Cleveland Browns, is officially out. The two sides could not come to an agreement on the structure of the organization and how decisions would be made. And therefore, John Dorsey, the Browns general manager or former general manager, officially is out. So the Cleveland Browns once again find themselves in a state of turmoil, having fired their head coach on Sunday night, having parted ways with their general manager on New Year's Eve. Now we'll be looking for a head coach. Now could be looking for a general manager. But John Dorsey, there have been whispers about this in previous days about who would decide on the upcoming head coach, who would make that selection, what they were looking for. There was disagreement in this organization last year over the head coach that they would pick. John Dorsey wanted to go with Freddie Kitchens. Other people in the organization wanted to go with Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. They faced a similar situation this year where there were so many voices with so many opinions wanting so many different things about what would be next for the next Cleveland head coach. Ultimately, they couldn't agree on anything. And so a short time ago, moments ago, it became official. John Dorsey is out as the Browns general manager.
Schefty, thank you. And we all know what happens when you can't agree on anything. You ultimately land on one thing, and that is you can no longer work together. Look, this is an organization that just continues to go round and round, Rob. And at some point, they're going to have to take a long, hard look who they are, what they want, and how they do things.
It's a hamster wheel.
It is a hamster wheel, and it's not one you want to be on.
It's going and going. It's going and going and going. And so, you know, I think that the ownership needs to take a good, hard look at themselves, at their decision makings and who they surround themselves with to help them make their decisions.
I think what I shared earlier in the show about the owners giving call, or Jimmy Haslam specifically calling around the league to people who've figured out a formula of success within their own organization, as well as others outside of the NFL world trying to get advice to see what he's missing. At least he's taking a look. Look, if I'm a Browns fan, as upset as I am about the Freddie Kitchens situation, perhaps it's John Dorsey, I'm probably ultimately frustrated at just ownership and their decision making and their lack of foresight. It seems that they've always just they're not thinking these things through. And, you know, John Dorsey is a respected general manager. I would be surprised if he's out without a job for this season. I would think somebody would consider bringing him on as something. But I think at this point going forward, it's obvious that ownership here is taking a look. They are starting from scratch, needing a new GM, a new head coach. And you look at their quarterback, like a guy like Baker Mayfield, who was supposed to save the Cleveland Browns. And he's got to be sitting there with, you know, again, another change for Baker Mayfield. He's never had the same coach.
Let me ask you this, Rob, and think about it for just a minute. I mean, I know the easy answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe Baker Mayfield is a franchise quarterback you can build around? Is the grade incomplete because of the dysfunction he's been accustomed to?
I'd say it's incomplete. It's incomplete.
Okay.
And if I was an advisor or anyone in his camp, I would say, look, let's focus on this year here of being a better quarterback. How many commercials do we see Tom Brady in during the season?
The commercial thing is always so interesting.
It just bothers me.
No, me too. I always get crushed when I bring that up.
But it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying I agree.
It doesn't matter.
It's a distraction towards what you're trying to be and where you're trying to go. Look, you're doing all this stuff in the offseason or when you should probably be working on yourself to be a better football player as opposed to having a lot of endorsements. And I get you're trying to make money. But first, you got to score touchdowns and you got to win football games before you're –
You know what it says to me? Whenever young quarterbacks go out there and aggressively chase the marketing, to me it comes off insecure. It's, I'm not sure how long this is going to last. I need to go make as much money as I possibly can right now. That's how I've always read that.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the Robert Griffin in the third days when I felt like he was everywhere. It's the same idea. I think if Baker truly believed he was the guy, I don't think he'd be so pressed to do all this.
Flash in the pan?
Well, we'll talk more about this. Again, the news, Freddie Kitchens out on Sunday. John Dorsey, the Browns GM, out today. We also have news developing in Dallas regarding the future of head coach Jason Garrett. Stay with us. New on NFL Live from our Cowboys reporter, Todd Archer. The meeting between Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett is complete, according to sources. But if there has been any resolution to the coach's status, it is not clear at this time. So we continue to watch what's next with the Dallas Cowboys. Again, Jason Garrett's contract expires this week. The expectation is there will be a new head coach in Dallas, but for more, we'll turn to Adam Schefter with a little bit of perspective, Adam, because they're taking their time here.
Wendy, the Cleveland Browns might hire and fire another head coach and general manager before the Cowboys decide what to do with Jason Garrett. That's entirely possible at this rate, but the latest meeting between the Jones family and Jason Garrett has wrapped up. There is no word on the resolution of that meeting, even though everybody expects it to go a certain way. And the Joneses are scheduled to head out on vacation here on New Year's Eve. And Jason Garrett has a contract that is scheduled to run through January 14th. So there's really no rush for either side to say Jason Garrett has been relieved of his duties because his contract's expiring. And there's too much respect there. The Cowboys have been run like a family because it is the Jones family that runs them. And Jason Garrett, for a decade, over a decade now, has been a part of that family. And so they don't want to lose him as a member of that family, but everybody knows that it's best for both sides to go their own ways at this point in time. But there's been no decision, at least no public proclamation, about how the two sides will make that official. So we continue to await word from Dallas that maybe might not come here for a little bit, just because there's no urgency. The Dallas Cowboys are expected to be in the market for a new head coach. Jason Garrett is expected to be in the market for a new coaching job, but there's no word yet about how they will resolve that. In the interim, the Browns go on. They fired another GM.
Yeah, listen, stop me if you've heard. We've seen this movie before. Stop me if you've heard it before. The Browns have made a coaching change. The Browns have made a GM change. Look, I don't know. I mean, maybe the Cowboys, maybe they're making New Year's plans. I mean, it's possible, right? I mean, it's a holiday. Look, we've said this before. Adam said it before. This is clearly a difficult decision for Jerry Jones. And although the expectation is that Jason Garrett won't remain as the team's head coach, I mean, I guess at this point anything's possible, Diana, but it doesn't hurt anything, really, to take your time.
Well, it doesn't hurt, but at the same time, you know, those candidates that want this job are probably sitting there. I mean, unless Jerry's having conversations with them that we don't know about. Because
which is certainly possible.
They obviously know what's going on mm-hmm. in this building, and they're just doing a really good job of either keeping it quiet and not letting it out, or perhaps maybe they haven't even had the final decision of, yes, you know, we're parting ways. But, you know, I just think about the candidates and those names that we're hearing around the league right now that are interested in this job, whether it's, you know, Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer, Jason Witten, you know, are names that you hear that could want this job. And, you know, at some point, I think I'm sure Cowboys fans want to move on here and say, all right, who's going to be our next head coach here?
Yeah, they do. But I have no doubt they'll have one when training camp starts. I mean, your point is well taken. But at this point, I don't know. I don't really know what to say. It's an interesting. We don't usually see this. You know,
it's just taking so long.
We're dying every moment.
You wonder if there is any discussions with Jason Garrett of would you be open to the possibility of having a new coach come in, but you're still involved in this organization with in some aspect and feeling out him to see if that would be something that he would be willing to do. Because he has done that in the past, and maybe taking a step back will help the team step forward, but he'll still be involved with the team because he knows has all the relationship involved, and he knows how to get the best out of some of those guys, maybe as a coordinator and not the head coach.
The fact that he walked into the Star today with his binder to meet with players, mm-hmm. to have those exit meetings, he's still acting as if he's the coach. They're letting him finish his job as a coach, and we'll see how much longer he will be.
All right, listen, what we do know for sure is that there will be no finishing for Cleveland Browns GM John Dorsey. I should say former Cleveland Browns John Dorsey. Adam Schefter reporting that the two sides have parted ways quite simply because they could not agree on a lot of things, most importantly, the direction of this organization. Adam Schefter reporting this earlier and continuing to provide us with some context and some perspective. Adam, what else is there this afternoon?
Well, a short time ago, Wendy, a Browns official added that the two sides, quote unquote, mutually parted ways. So a conscious uncoupling on New Year's Eve of John Dorsey, the former Browns general manager, and the Browns organization that seems to go through change like this every single year. John Dorsey has 2 years remaining on his contract, and so he becomes the latest in a long line of former Browns employees that sit back and collect millions of dollars from the Haslams for them making change. It would be incredible to tally up all the money that they've paid out to former fired employees who are with the Browns, who got there with decorative pedigrees and great resumes and then left with their reputation tarnished from their time in Cleveland. Nobody seems to emerge from Cleveland better off than when they got there. Name one person that that's happened to. That is going to be chilling on the candidate field as the Browns try to hire a new head coach and potentially a general manager, because this is the type of thing that Cleveland now does on a regular basis. They've been through too many coaches to count, too many executives to count, and every time we're told it's going to be different, and it never is. And now the latest one is, after the two sides could not agree how to restructure the organization, how they would come to agreement on a new head coach, who they would hire, the two sides decide to go their own separate ways. John Dorsey let go, quote-unquote, mutually parting ways. According to one Browns official, the Browns have made the latest change, and I think the most surprising change so far of this hiring and firing cycle that comes at the end of every NFL regular season.
Adam, thank you. It's really true. Even Bill Belichick crawled out of there at one point. It's a tough place to go. Jeremy Fowler has been covering the Cleveland Browns and joins us now with more. Jeremy, some surprising news, but not only a coaching change, but a changing of the guard with the general manager as well in Cleveland.
Well, Wendy, things are starting to get ugly yesterday because members of John Dorsey's team, you know, his lieutenants, people in the personnel department, started considering other options, started to look for jobs elsewhere, and then it became clear today. I talked to a source who said chief strategist Paul D. Podesta basically won. You know, he's the guy at Moneyball fame who came in, and then when John Dorsey's staff took over, what was it, a few years ago, they wondered why D. Podesta was still around and, you know, showing up to the building once or twice a week, even though he didn't live in Cleveland. And so it turns out he still has a lot of influence in the building, is my understanding, talking to sources there. And so, you know, they feel like they sort of weren't given a fair shake to see this out. They acquired a lot of talent. Obviously, John Dorsey was big in hiring Freddie Kitchens, and that turned out to be, from what sources told me, was a complete disaster, not only on the field, but behind the scenes. So Dorsey has taken some heat for that. But still, you know, they felt like they put together a really good roster and can't see it through.
Jeremy, thank you. And I think that's likely a fair assessment. There were some positive decisions made, but when you hang your hat on Freddie Kitchens, and let's be clear, I think it was pretty clear from the outset that this probably wasn't going to work. When that's your call, Rob, as you know, there's ultimately going to be some level of accountability, in this case, quite a bit.
Yeah, I think when you bring in the talent that he did bring in and nothing happens with that, I think that is a big issue with you're paying a man to bring in talent, and you're paying a coach to make sure that that talent shows up on the football field, and they have talent, but it's not showing up on the football field, and then it has to go back on somebody. When you look at the GM bringing guys in, then your coach has to manage those guys. If the coach doesn't necessarily want those guys, I mean, look at New York, the Jets, for example. I mean, it's happening not just in one location. It's everywhere, you know, with the Bell situation and running back. Like, oh, yeah, he's got three more years here. I got to deal with him. You know, so I think that that is the dysfunction when you have the head coach, the GM, they're not on the same page, but they bring in somebody and then you can't get the most out of them. And then everyone's looking at the coach and then the coach is saying, well, it wasn't, I wanted this guy and we brought in too many guys and I can't control it. And this guy wants this and this guy wants that. It's impossible when you see the every 2 years, 3 years, the turnover, it's crazy. It is absolutely nuts. And then you add up all the money that these guys are making fired.
It's an expensive proposition.
It's very expensive.
Yep. During,
and it's guaranteed. It's all guaranteed money. So you sign a coach for 3-4 years. He's like, all right, fire me. I got 3 years sitting at home.
During the preseason, we had former Cleveland Browns offensive line coach Bob Wiley on Get Up in the morning. And we were discussing Freddie Kitchens and his ability to lead men and be a head coach. And, you know, Coach Wiley was doing a good job of painting a picture of, look, I think that Freddie Kitchens got this job because John Dorsey wanted the control. And Freddie didn't have enough experience as a head coach, but John wanted to help him and bring him along. And there wasn't anyone on the staff that could overpower John Dorsey. The only other person that I know from inside that building that actually had really good control over these guys was actually Greg Williams.
Yeah, and if you remember how that ended. I agree with you because Greg Williams, I've played with Greg Williams, and played for him, and I understand the way that he holds people accountable. And Everyone respects him, and you're not going to see a player come off the field and have an argument with him, especially.
Oh, no way.
No, not if you don't want to get your head taken off.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. All right, well, news now regarding the postseason. The Houston Texans will kick things off, and it does appear they will have the services of J.J. Watt, according to our reporter Stefano Fusaro. He says that Watt will return to the active roster for Saturday's game. Again, he was out with a torn pectoral muscle. Was not eligible to return last week, though he was back at practice because of injured reserve. But he can play this weekend. Sounds like he will. All right, best plays of the decade. We're not going to go through them all. We don't have that kind of time, but I will ask you your favorite. You have to think back 10 years now. That's what decade is, apparently.
How about a play that gave me a little hardware? How about a Super Bowl play?
I mean, how'd I know?
How about the Julian Edelman
showing off
catch
here, Rob.
Off the turf? Like 1 millimeter to spare, he grabs it off the ground. Doesn't touch. Look at this. Watch this concentration by Jules.
And it was a catch.
Stretch it out. Oh, the little pinkies. The strong little pinkies.
Double strong catch. Little bit, yeah. Oh,
he's got disgusting.
And as a result, a ring for you.
Yeah, I don't have it with me.
I know. Well, next time.
Yeah.
There's still time. So we're just counting our way down. Diana?
I think I've been spending way too much time in Nashville. So I think... Well, first of all, I love the stiff arm. Anytime I see a player go out there do that. So, of course, if you're going to think stiff arm, you're going to think about this run from Derrick Henry, where I think, I mean, nobody was really able to keep up with him here in this. I watched this play about 50 times that day. I remember going, there's no way. There's no way. Yep, there was a way. And he's still doing it. And he's going to probably do it this Saturday in Foxborough. Take down your Patriots.
Come on, get there. You said you're going 10 years? That's the best play in 10 years? I should stiff arm you. Get out of here. Get out of here.
The mini miracle. I mean, it doesn't get old because you're watching. Like, did that happen? And I was watching with two people who don't really watch football, and you're trying to explain it. I couldn't even get the words out. Like, yes, that just
was unbelievable.
I hope no one in New Orleans is eating lunch right now because it's almost choked.
Probably. That's all right.
That play.
I think I missed the directions of that game, by the way, because I think you're right. I want to redo.
Well, it's been a day, but that's how things go this time of year. Adam Schefter, catch us up on what we've seen this afternoon.
Well, Wendy, the Browns are being the Browns. They are going on their 12th head coach and 10th general manager since returning to the NFL in 1999 after parting ways mutually with their general manager, John Dorsey, today. They will conduct a search now for a new head coach, for a new GM. Keep in mind, earlier in the day, Matt Rhule turned down the chance to interview for the Browns head coaching job. Meanwhile, down in Dallas, Jason Garrett met with the Jones family yet again for the second time in as many days. It doesn't look like any type of resolution was reached before the 2020 new year kicks in. It seems like both sides are going home. Jason Garrett's contract runs through the date of January 14th. So it's possible that these two sides just continue to wave in the wind and wait for that date to approach. But it's also possible that the Cleveland Browns can make more changes to their front office and coaching staff before the Cowboys ever decide what to do with Jason Garrett. Typical start for the new year, Wendy.
Right? I mean, the more things change, folks, the more they stay the same. Listen, I think you got to file this under is what it is, but a lot of change, a great deal of it in Cleveland, Rob.
Yeah, what a year, right?
The decade ends for Cleveland the way almost every year does, you know, folks.
I just always think of, I just go back in my head about what we were talking about just 4 or 5 months ago and the excitement we had for Cleveland and where the direction they were going off, and I thought this was it.
Well, there's some pieces in place. We'll see, as you mentioned earlier.
If you go back and watch the tape, I said,
I like it.
Oh, there's always time for I told you so.
He is so that guy.
That's our specialty here.
I'm sorry. What?
Listen, also, you heard.
I said they had a lot of talent, but they didn't have a talent manager.
Well, you're right. Listen, you heard Adam Schefter say it, but just in case, no definitive answer in Dallas, and it's New Year's Eve now. Folks are going home. Apparently, Jerry Jones and family going on vacation. I don't know. Maybe they're going together. Yeah. I don't know. But I tell you what, we'll keep following it all week long because why not? Beats a real job. We wish you all a very happy new year and a safe New Year's Eve to you tomorrow.
See you in 2020.